Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our reconciling Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll believe it when I see it. What you see is what you get. We see eye to eye. We have lots of sayings that pertain to seeing or perceiving, and many of these or not seeing reality or truth. For example, looks can be deceiving. Seeing is believing. And there's more than meets the eye. Truth and reality should be connected to what we see. When what we see doesn't line up with what's true or real, there's a disconnect. There's deception or falsehood. What we see should line up with what's true and real. And what's real and true should line up with what we see. Yet the problem is we live in a fallen world that is plagued with sin and its effects. Effects like deception, untruths, and unreality. Where what we see is often false, or what is unreal and untrue often displays itself as being real and true. We're quite familiar with this. Some examples would be someone who is nice to others in person but speaks ill of them behind their backs. Or a person who speaks against a particular behavior, but then indulges in that behavior. In these examples, what we see doesn't line up with the truth. What is real is masked or covered up. And such deceptions are all too common in this sinful world. Yet the problem isn't just with the world or with other people. The issue of perception and truth not lining up is found within our own lives, too. How often do we minimize our own sins by telling ourselves and others that they're not that bad? Or we justify our sin, convincing ourselves we had to do it. Or we blame our actions on others, claiming it's their fault that we did something wrong. Or we blame some other thing. It's the way I was raised. Or it's just my personality type. And on we can go with creative ways to downplay our own sin. We're very good at dismissing our sin. Yet the truth is these are all attempts to mask the reality of sin. These are all attempts to cover up the guilt of our sin. We try to distort the reality of sin by minimizing or denying it. But try as we may, we can't hide our sin. Sure, we may be able to deceive ourselves or others regarding our sin, but we cannot deceive our righteous God. God sees the unrighteousness of our sin. He perceives the reality of our sinful condition. And God, seeing the truthfulness of our pitiful, sinful condition, speaks to us. As sinful humans, we need God to speak truth to us. He needs to show us what is real. We need to be told that we are, in fact, sinners. Unrighteous people who live before a righteous God. God needs to do this for us because in our sin, we can't see the reality of our situation on our own. Sin so distorts our perception that we often and eagerly believe untruths. Untruths about the world, ourselves, and God. But God must speak truth to us. He must speak His word to us. And this righteous word comes to us, in part, as His righteous law. The law of God, summarized in the Ten Commandments, addresses concrete sins. It doesn't deal with abstractions, but with specific sins in our lives. Lust, jealousy, disrespect, gossip, anger, resentment, idolatry, and scores upon scores of other sins. God must specifically speak to these specific sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. God must accuse us of our sin, because if He doesn't, we will continue living in our sin, destroying ourselves, our neighbors, creation, and our relationship with God, ultimately leading to our destruction. But thankfully, mercifully, God speaks His law to us stopping us in our sin in order that we might repent and receive the forgiveness of our sins. There's nothing new here. This is what God did with Adam and Eve after they sinned in the garden. If left to their own devices, Adam and Eve would have continued hiding in their sin. They would have continued fleeing in their sin, forever running away from God. But God mercifully stopped them in their sin and called them to repentance, demanding that they stand before their righteous God. And God continues to do the same thing for us today in worship. What is the confession and absolution portion of our worship service if not God speaking to us, halting us in our sin, addressing the reality of our specific concrete sins, that we might confess them and receive His gracious word of forgiveness? And in repentance, in confessing our sins and being forgiven, we return to our vocations and try our hardest with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to not commit any more sins. Forgiveness, the gospel, empowers us to resist sin, to see the reality of sin for what it is, and to recognize its distortions. It's a merciful act that God accuses us of our sins. He doesn't desire us to remain in any of our sins. Sin isn't good for us or those around us. God has given us a better way. The way of forgiveness and a spirit-filled life. The way of resisting sin. The way of living according to God's good law. This better way is living as the new creations that Christ has made us to be. As St. Paul beautifully proclaims in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We need to constantly hear God's law, to be accused by it and receive it as instruction for godly living. But we also need to constantly hear the gospel. For God also speaks His righteous gospel to us. We need to be told again and again and again that we are, in fact, forgiven. That God has wiped away our sins. That God does, in truth, love us and care for us. We need to be reminded every week that we really are new creations in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. For Christians, this is reality. This is the truth. This is our identity. In spite of the sin we still cling to or try to justify, or the idols that we still harbor within our hearts, we are, in reality, new creations. This is true because God the Father has made it so. He has declared it to be so. This is reality. And this is the truth. In spite of what we so often see with our eyes. So in a new but different way, in a merciful way, our perception doesn't line up with what is actually real and true. When we look at ourselves or other Christians, often all we can see is sin and its effects. But in and through faith in Christ, we also see that we really are new creations. This new creation reality shapes how we see ourselves, other Christians, and even Christ. For St. Paul declares that we, as new creations, regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. As Christians, we no longer regard Christ nor any other person according to the flesh. But what does it mean to regard Jesus or anyone according to the flesh? Is Paul insinuating that the flesh is bad? Well, Paul's use of the term flesh here is a metaphor for the sinful nature. This doesn't mean that the body itself is bad. Paul, and all of Scripture, speaks highly of the human body. He states that we shouldn't degrade the body with sinful actions. And he proclaims that the body will be raised in the resurrection of the dead. So Paul's use of the term flesh here is a shorthand way of saying the sinful nature, which includes our whole being, both body and soul, which is plagued with sin. As new creations in Christ, where Christ has claimed our whole being, body and soul, as His in our baptisms, we no longer regard anyone according to our sinful nature. So as new creations, how do we regard Christ? Well, we don't regard Christ as a God made in our own image. He conforms us into His likeness. We don't regard Jesus as an enemy. He has made peace between us and God. We don't regard Him as someone who's indifferent to our sin. He died to forgive our sin and free us from sin. We regard Him as the Son of God, our King, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We regard Him as our Lord and Savior. We regard Christ as the crucified and risen one. We regard Him as the one who knew no sin, but for our sake was made sin in order that we might become the righteousness of God. We regard Christ as the one who makes us righteous. And how we regard Christ then shapes how we regard others. For being made righteous, being new creations, we regard others, especially Christians, differently. Last week, Pastor Troy placed the crucifix in the midst of the congregation as a visual to show that whenever we view each other, we view one another through Christ and His cross. When we regard one another, we regard each other through Christ's death. When we look at each other, we see one another as children of God for whom Jesus died. We see each Christian as a new creation in Christ, who's loved and redeemed by Christ. We no longer regard each other according to the flesh, according to the old sinful nature. And this means we don't regard one another as obstacles, annoyances, headaches, problems to be solved, people who just don't get it, those who don't do anything right, those that go to that service, those who really should just go to another church. We no longer regard people according to the flesh. Instead, we regard one another as new creations. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We regard no one according to the flesh. We regard one another as new creations in Christ, who are reconciled to God and seek to live reconciled with one another. Those who are new creations in Christ seek to live reconciled with other new creations in Christ, because we've all been made the righteousness of God. In spite of the sin that remains in us, in spite of the failures, weaknesses, and faults that are ever so clear in all of us, in spite of what we see, the truth is, we are new creations. This is the reality declared by God. And we, living in that truth and reality, have the opportunity to seek reconciliation with one another. Such reconciliation will never be perfect in this life, but we do strive for perfection. And in the new creation, when Christ returns, all will finally and forever be reconciled. We who are new creations live in the certainty of who God has made us to be. Our transformation into new creations isn't complete and won't be until Christ returns and forever stamps out sin and death. And because this transformation is ever incomplete until Christ's return, we need to keep receiving the gospel. We need to keep hearing the good news of reconciliation given to us in Christ's death and resurrection. We need to keep returning to our baptismal identities as new creations. We need to keep eating and drinking Christ's righteousness in Holy Communion. The gospel, must be preached to us again and again and again. So new creations in Christ, hear the gospel proclaimed again to you this day. For your sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.